How many of you feel like that you have lost a little bit of that feast inspiration that you had a week ago right now? How many of y'all have lost a little bit of that this week? All right, a few. That means all of you still have the exact same amount, right? That which is good. It's probably somewhere in the middle, right? It's only been a week. It's a week ago we were at our feast sites celebrating the eighth day. And we had a really good feast. Hopefully you did as well. Especially the second half of the feast, we had a lot of sermons really talking about bringing this motivation home and using it to inspire us here at home and to make changes if we need to do that, but really to keep that focus on the long term, on the future. And then we got home early Sunday morning, and you fall back into work and school, and then you see the things going on in the world around us. And it's very easy to kind of fall right back into where you were 2 weeks ago, right, before you went to the feast, with just lots of stresses of life and lots of different things going on, and so your perspective gets skewed a little bit. And so, you know, one of the reasons God gave us the feast, there's many reasons, but again, it was for an opportunity to be re-motivated, to be re-inspired, and to hopefully really put our thoughts where they need to be. And that plainly is that one thought that our focus should always be on is that of becoming a member of God's family. I mean, that is what our focus should be on. I mean, Christopher was talking about that, about changing our hearts and what should be in our heart. That's what should be in our heart. The fact that God is giving us this opportunity right now, he's invited us, and he says, I want you in my family forever. I want you to be part of my kingdom. I want you involved in this. Right. And all those amazing things that go along with it. That has to be our focus. At the feast, it's very easy. You know, we're in these beautiful places, God's creation all around us, brethren around us. You know, we don't have to worry about school and homework and stress and all this stuff. It's very easy to focus on that. And then we come home and it's like, well, but then life happens and then we don't think about it for a year. That can't be the case. That has to be our mindset. Joining God's family. That's number one. That's all that matters. Nothing is more important than that. Our jobs, our careers, our relationships, all those things that Christopher was talking about, not as important. It's being a member of God's family. So in the summertime, we heard several messages on the camp theme. If you go back to the camp theme this year, it was Race to Your Crown. That's been on my mind since May and June, whenever that was released. Because it's a reminder of that. Like, that is the race that we're in. You know, I was driving to church this morning, and you just see all the cars, right, on 75. And people just going to and fro. No clue about the Sabbath. No clue about God's plan for them. No clue about what's waiting. And yet God has uniquely picked out each one of you sitting there today to say, this is, you're going to be different. You're going to have a different understanding. You're going to have a different goal. You're going to become a member of my family and help fix all this stuff. And we're in that race. We're in that race together. So what I want to talk about today is a continuation of that. And if you saw the title today is Finish the Race. And I talked about this in my message at the feast this year, is that we are in this race, and that we, at the feast, we were motivated, inspired, and now that we're home, we have to keep that motivation to finish the race, to enter into his kingdom, to be a member of his family. That's what we're here for. Everything else is secondary. Everything else is secondary. We have to finish the race. So what I want to do today in the time with you is I've got a story to tell you. You may be thinking, will he ever run out of stories? So I don't know. Maybe one day I'll run out of stories. But they keep coming to me, and so I keep putting them in messages. But I'm going to share a story with you about an actual race that I ran. So I've been running, I guess my dad, when we were like maybe 9, 10 years old, He got us all into running. We were home. They started to homeschool us at that point, and that was our PE class. We'd go down to the track, and we'd have to run a mile. And then he'd have us, well, you can do 2 miles, and then you can do a 5K and a 10K. So from the time I was 10, 11 years old, I've been into running, and I've ran 5Ks, 10Ks, more than I can remember, and a few half marathons. And so what I'm going to do is today is I'm going to tell you the story about one of those half marathons that I ran. And as we go through the story, hopefully you will see some nice parallels and some good analogies that you can take with you in this spiritual race that you're in. Again, as we're striving to finish this race. So this was 5 years ago. I had already run 2 half marathons. And so this is back 2018. And I was like, all right, I've kind of got the itch again. I think I want to run another half marathon. I've never done a marathon. I've never had a desire to do a marathon. My dad did 2, and I saw him like hobble around the house, you know, for a week or 2 afterwards. Like, I have goals and I'm competitive, but I don't want to have to crawl around the house. So I have my limits. So half marathon was where I went. So I was like, all right, I want to do another half marathon. So I investigated, found a place. Okay, this looks like a cool race. It's a place. Okay, Betsy would probably want to go there. So yeah, I'll do this. And so I committed to run the race. I put my credit card down, I paid the entry fee, and I had a race day. I was committed at that moment. I had to change how I was living my life since I was committed to that race, right? I had to start training. I wasn't just going to show up in 3 months and run 13 miles. I mean, I probably could have. It wouldn't have been fun, and it wouldn't, you know, definitely would not have been a time I wanted to. So I had to start training. I had to start implementing different things in my life. As race day got closer, I had to make sure I was getting more sleep so that my body could recover from the training runs. I had to make sure I was eating the right foods. As much, you know, as it was sad for those week or 2 before the race, I didn't eat much ice cream during that time. That's not good. That's not a good food, right? So I had to make changes. I had to make adjustments because I was committed to running this race. I think you all know where this analogy is, right? You've committed to running this race. God has called you. God has opened your mind. God has given you this information. And you're committed to running this race. And with that commitment, God is saying, are you willing to make the adjustments and the life choices that show that you're committed? Right? That's what I had to do training for the race. Am I going to make these adjustments in my life? Let's go to 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and let's see what Paul says here about this race that we're running and what God is looking for and how we should be thinking about this. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 20, where am I at here? Verse 24 is where I'm going to start. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. Again, God's looking for a commitment, right? That's what he's looking for. In verse 24, Paul says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives a prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. So he's saying here, he's already making the analogy that we're in a race. And he's saying, if you're going to run the race, well, run it the best you can. Right? Commit to it. Make the proper changes. Train correctly. You know, eat correctly. All these things. If you're going to be in this race, run it the right way. And then continuing in verse 26, because of this, he says, therefore, because I know I'm in this race, because I know that God has called me, because I know that God has a place for me and that he wants me in his family and he wants me in his kingdom and he's got all these big things for me to do, because of that, I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. I'm running this race knowing that all these things are true. I'm not out just running around, not sure what's going on. I'm running in this race because I believe and I know that God has a plan and that I'm involved in that plan and that Jesus Christ is returning and I will rise to meet him in the air and I will, for 1,000 years, help reform the earth and then the new Jerusalem will come and then forever and ever, whatever that is, I'm going to be there. I know that. And so I'm running my race accordingly. He continues, because of all these things, I discipline my body and I bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Because of this, Paul says, I'm committed and I live my life in a certain way and I make decisions in a certain way. You know, whenever I was training, I have this nice training plan that I always follow. It's a 90-day plan. It takes you from day 90 all the way to race day. And every day it tells you, do this, right? You kind of pick your goal. I want to be able to run an 8-minute mile. And it just goes and says, all right, on day 90, do this. On day 89, do this. Run this far, rest, whatever it is. And it takes you all the way through to race day. So that on race day, you're successful. You're ready to go. Well, we have the exact same thing. God gave us the training book, right? Everything we need to know for this race that we're in is in here. Everything that God wants us to do, everything that he doesn't want us to do, it's all in this book. If we're not spending time in this book, then you're not ready for the race. Race day is going to come, and you're not in shape. You have to know what this says. It's all in here for us. This is our training manual. This shows us how we live our lives to be committed to God's way of life. And so the questions that we ask ourselves as we've come back from the feast and we've kind of went back into our normal routine, the world that we live in, well, are we living our lives in a way that shows commitment or not? It's as simple as that, right? We can't trick God. God already knows. We just have to be honest with ourselves. Are we living our life in a way that shows commitment or not? Are we doing activities that strengthens us in our race to being his family or puts us farther away? Are our friendships that we have in this world, are they strengthening us? Are they bringing us closer to entering God's family, or are they pulling us farther away? Our social media habits, the people we follow, whatever it is, fill in the blank. Are the things we do moving us closer to God's kingdom or farther away? That's the commitment that God is looking for. It's as simple as that. Again, God wants us to be committed, and we show that with our actions and how we live our life. And again, it's in this book. Everything is in this book that we need to know. Race day comes. Race day comes, and I'm feeling good. My training went well. And I race day is really exciting. There's so much energy in there, right? So growing up, I mean, I love sports. I played sports, the competitive aspect. And so there's something about race day where there's just a lot of energy that's there at that starting line. There's excitement in this race. There's music going. There was 20 to 25,000 people in this race. It was a big race. So there's just a lot, right? I mean, everybody's amped up. They're ready to go. There's lots of excitement in the air. But there's also lots of distractions. Lots of distractions that can really mess up your race if you allow them to get to you. So the starting gun goes off. And not just this race, but any race I've ever ran, at the starting, it's always amazing to see people just like run by you really fast, like almost at a full sprint. Like they're just caught up, right? They've come from behind and they're, you know, ready, set, go, and they just fly by you as fast as you can. That can be distracting. Because someone like myself, I could be like, ooh, maybe I need to run that fast. That person just passed me. Oh, I don't like that, right? You've got to stay focused on, oh, this is my game plan. There's people that are kind of, you know, dodging in and out, right? So you've got to be focused on where your feet are landing. You don't want to trip. You don't want to fall. There's people cheering. And like I said, there's music. There's people dressed up. I don't know if it was this race, but this, maybe it was another race, but there was one race where there was literally a guy in a banana costume that ran by me. I'm serious, a banana costume. That's very distracting. I'm like, man, the banana just passed me. What's going on here? Maybe I need to speed up. There's stuff going on, right? There's lots of stuff going on at the beginning of the race that can really cause problems. You've got to stay focused. Where is your focus? Where is your focus? That's very, very important. Let's go to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Because sometimes we think about our focus, we're focused on wrong things. Oh, you know, I'm focused on social media and TV and all this. Okay. Obviously, those are things bad that we can be focused on, but we can also be distracted by seemingly good things. So let's see what I'm talking about here. Let's go to Luke 10 and verse 40. I like this story. I think about these few scriptures a lot. Whenever there's areas in my life where I can feel like I'm getting distracted, I'm spending too much time on something, whatever it may be, and so I think of this story a lot. Let's begin in verse 38 of Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. It says, "Now it happened as they went, that he, Jesus, entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary." So this is Mary, Martha, and their famous brother Lazarus. And so Jesus is going in town, and he's going to their house, right? He's going to go to their house, and look what's going on here. So it says she's got a sister named Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So it's at their house, Jesus is talking, the disciples are there, I'm sure people from town have heard about it. So there's all this stuff. So this turns into this big gathering, this big party going on at Mary and Martha's house. And look at what Martha says in verse 40. It says, "But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached Jesus and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.'" I imagine you all can sit there. You can feel for Martha. You know, you can feel, especially, you know, if you've hosted a gathering at your house, there's a lot of work that goes into that. And so Martha's like, "Look, I'm trying to make sure everyone has food and drink, and I'm doing all this work, and my sister, she's not helping at all. She's just sitting over there listening. Like, I would love to listen too, but I mean, there's stuff to be done. There's a party going on here. I want to be a good hostess. Jesus, tell her to help me." It seems reasonable, right? She wasn't distracted. She wasn't doing anything wrong. She was trying to serve. But yet, look what Jesus tells her. "And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her.'" Jesus says, "Martha, no one cares if they have enough food right now or drink, because I'm here, the Messiah, who you know is the Messiah, you believe. I'm here talking to you in your house. That's what's most important right now. You know, I appreciate the fact that you want us to, you know, have a good time and all this, but that's not what matters right now. The only thing that matters is me, and I'm here, and what I'm saying, and my words." And Mary understands that. I think this is really important because, again, she wasn't doing anything wrong. She wasn't caught in a sin. She was serving, but she was distracted, and she had lost her focus on what was really important, and that was the Messiah was in her house, talking about the plan for her and the future and God's family and all these things. That's what mattered. That's what her focus was supposed to be on. Is that our focus? You know, we came home and you immediately turn on the TV, and I think probably all of our thoughts and prayers have been in Israel this week, right? Rightfully so. Especially as people that God has called and we know our Bibles, you know, something starts going on in Israel and we all perk up real fast, right? But is that the most important thing? Well, no, it's God's kingdom. It's God's family. I can be guilty of this, of dwelling too much on the things going on around us, the negative things. It's important that we know prophecy. We need to know these things, but that's not the most important thing. What's the most important thing? Are we ready for Jesus Christ to return? Are we focused on the kingdom, on becoming a family member and living our life the right way? All these things are going to happen around us. There's going to be some really terrible things that are going to happen. And there were terrible things that happened a week ago in Israel. And that's just going to become amplified more and more. That's things that we look at and we understand, but it's not the focus. The focus is the family. Joining the family, joining God's family. That's where our minds have to be. You know, eventually in this race, and this always happens, is those people that ran by me at the very beginning, I slowly would catch up to them, and I'd pass them, because they were either, by this time, going really slow or walking. I remember I passed Banana Guy really fast, because in a banana suit, he didn't last very long. So I passed him a long time ago. But there were people that they had trained, and they were committed to this race, and they were focused, but they had spent too much energy at the beginning because they lost their focus, and then I go by them. And I always wonder, did they even finish the race? All the time they spent training, the commitment, did they even finish? Or did that distraction and that lack of focus at some point, did that cost them and then they dropped out of the race? I don't know. I just know that we can't let that happen to us, right? We have to finish. We have to finish the race. And if we stay focused on the finish line, we will. There's things going to go on around us. Don't get overly caught up in it. Stay on the race. Stay focused. So this is about middle of the race now. Things are kind of settling in. Everything's going okay. But I'm getting close to the turn. And pretty much almost all the races I've ever ran, it's the starting line and the finish line are in a similar area. And so there's always the turn, basically, where you kind of get halfway out and you turn and you start heading back towards the finish line. To me, this is a part of the race where I always kind of get in my own head, because what happens is I start seeing people who have already made the turn. So they're coming back at me on the other side of the road, and they're running much faster than me. You know, they're ahead of me, and they've already made the turn. And so I kind of start getting down on myself. I'm like, man, Matthew, you're slow. You know, you didn't train as hard as they did. You could be better. You know, why even bother in this race? You know, what's going on, right? So I kind of have to fight through those things. But I remember, especially in this race, I finally made the turn. And what this was amazing to me, because, again, there was 20 to 25,000 people. I made the turn, and all I could see when I turned is what was behind me were thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And it stretched miles. And until I'd made that turn, in my own little mind, I was like in last place. Right? All I could see was people that were ahead of me, people doing better than me. But when I made that turn, I realized, man, I'm not by myself in this at all. There's all these people that are in the same race, going through the same thing, going towards the same finish line as I was in. And so to me, that was amazing. I think each of us, as we sit there in our Christian life, at times we have felt inadequate, and maybe we have felt alone. Maybe we have felt like, yeah, God is calling all these other people, and they're much better Christians than I am. They're all running a much better race than me. I'm in last place. I'm like the worst Christian there is. There's no way God really wants me in his family. Or maybe you think that, again, no one else understands what you're going through, or that you're by yourself. You know, when we came home from the feast here last week, we went back to work, we went back to school, we went back to our neighborhoods. And my guess is in each of those areas, you are probably the only person in your class, in your neighborhood, at your place of work, you're the only one that believes the way you believe. You're alone. That's why we love going to the feast, right? We meet all these people and we're combined in all these people that believe the way we do, but it's even more so why it's so important that we come together every week on the Sabbath day. Because we're reminded we are not alone in this race. We're not alone in the race. We're all together in the same race. We're all going towards the same direction. We all have similar issues and similar problems, but we're all in the race. We're not by ourselves. And if we have to drag each other across the finish line, well, then that's what we're going to do. Because that's what our job is. John 13. Let's go to John 13. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. You know, again, there was that carnal part of me in the race where I turned and I was like, wow, I'm not doing as bad as I thought. I'm beating all these people. In this race that we're in now, we're not beating each other. We're all working together to finish the race together, to be in God's family together. We all have our individual reward waiting for us. We're not competing against each other. We're here for each other. And this is what Jesus said in John 13, just hours before his death, beginning in verse 34. He's talking to his disciples, And he's talking to us. And he says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Brethren, we are not alone in this journey. If you look around this room, everyone in this room, we're running together. And everyone around this room is future members of God's family, future brothers and sisters. Again, like I said, no one gets left behind. That's part of our responsibility. No one gets left behind. You see someone kind of falling back in the pack, you go get them. We all finish this race. That's what Jesus is saying here. We all finish. And so that's what's so vitally important about the week, you know, weekly Sabbath services and the different activities that we have and the different opportunities we have to get to know each other better and to bond, is because it allows us to love each other and to support each other. And that's what's so important. So I get past the turn and I'm settling in, things are spread out, my time's looking good, I feel pretty good, the race is going really well. And I get to right about mile 10, so I've got like 3 miles to go. And I'm thinking, all right, I'm good. It's just going to be now. Can I finish strong and hit my goal? And then I remember, because this is the only time this has ever happened in a race, I hit a mental wall at mile 10. And it was the weirdest thing, because suddenly I wanted it to be anywhere else in the world but where I was right there. Like, my mind was telling me, why are you doing this, Matthew? This is the dumbest thing you've ever done. Like, why are you running 13 miles? Nothing's even chasing you. Like, it made no sense. I mean, I was in a full, like, panic mode. Honest truth, I thought, just get an Uber. I was done. I was done with this race. I wanted to do anything else, to be anywhere. Again, I was questioning everything. It's like, you know, stop, whatever my options were. But there was another part of my mind that was like, whoa, 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 like, you're almost there. You've trained for all this time. You've went 10 miles. You're almost there. Why would you quit? Just keep putting one foot in front of the other. So for 3 miles, I had this fight going on in my head. Stop, call an Uber. Don't listen to that. One foot ahead. One foot in front of the other. Do not quit. Do not quit. You know, I knew Betsy was waiting at the finish line. If I show up in an Uber, that was going to be like, how I had to explain that. I mean, right? So, like, don't quit. Just keep going. No matter how hard it was, no matter what I was feeling, don't stop. Don't stop. In each of our lives, in our Christian life, in our Christian walk with God, we all have times where things are going along just fine, and then suddenly something happens. Maybe we hit a huge trial, a health trial. Maybe we hit a major relationship trial. Maybe a big sin. We make a bad decision. There's temptations, whatever it is. Something hits us out of nowhere, and our thought is, I just want to quit. I just want to quit. It's too hard. I failed. I'm not doing what I'm supposed to. It's too difficult. I'm tired of standing out. I'm tired of being the only one. Whatever it is, and the mindset says, I want to quit. I want to quit. My guess is every one of you here, well, I don't have to guess. I'm badging 100% for sure. Every one of you here knows someone who has quit. My guess is there's people in this room right now, and you're thinking about quitting. Don't quit. One step in front of the other. Do not quit. Don't let the things going on around you lead you into the worst decision of your life. That's where the focus comes from. Focus on the family. focus on the future, not on this world, not on the problems going on right now. Focus on God and the promise that he has given us. Do not quit. Especially young people here, I beg you, don't quit. Know it's hard. Don't quit. One foot in front of the other. Romans 8. See, our brains don't understand this because we're just human beings and we're going through these things in real time. And so we hit these walls in our life and we don't think that we can make it through. But Paul in Romans 8 says something very interesting that Jesus was able to lead him to understand. And this is really important. Romans 8, verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. What God is saying here, and what we have to remember is, we can't even understand what's waiting for us. And I hope it, when you were at the feast, I hope that y'all were talking about this and the messages and the future and that you got that little bit of a glimpse. We talked about this in the teen Bible study at the feast. We go to the feast and we love it, right? We talk about it all year. I'm already thinking about next year. I don't even know where the locations are, but I'm like, ooh, maybe it'll be this location. I'm just imagining things at this point. But why are we so excited? It's because God gives us about this much of what the kingdom is going to be like. And we just love it because it's so much better than what we have the other weeks of the year. But it's just this little bitty glimpse of what the future is. And so what Paul is saying here is that when we actually get to the kingdom, there is nothing in this world, in this life, that'll matter anymore. Like all those hardships that we're going through now, we won't even remember them. They'll be nothing because we're in the family of God. When I crossed the finish line, that 3 miles was that mind battle. I mean, it was the whole 3 miles. Quit, Matthew. Don't quit, Matthew. 3 miles. When I crossed the finish line, and when they put the little medal around my neck, I forgot all about the previous 13 miles. I finished. I was ecstatic. I didn't hurt anymore. I wasn't frustrated anymore. My mind wasn't telling me to quit anymore. I had made it. I'd crossed the finish line. I had my medal. Nothing mattered anymore. I finished. And that's what it's going to be like for us. Again, we get distracted in these other areas of life, but when that trumpet sounds and Jesus comes down, which he is. That's not pretend. That's real. He's going to come back. And we are going to rise and meet him in the air. That's not pretend. That's real. And 1,000 years is going to happen. Not pretend. That's real. And we're going to fix things. And we're going to turn deserts into awesome gardens. And we're going to help people whose families have been beheaded. And all those things. That's true. It's not pretend. And then a new Jerusalem comes down. That's not pretend. That's real. And then we live forever. I don't understand forever. My mind won't comprehend that. But it's forever. That's real. It's not pretend. When that happens, what's going on right now isn't going to mean anything to us. The struggles, the hardships, the challenges, it won't mean anything. That's why I said, one foot in front of the other. Just keep going. Just keep going. There is nothing more in our life, more important than becoming a child of God. Satan has counterfeits everywhere. He's got distractions everywhere. He wants you to do anything other than keep on this race. Do anything else other than stay on this course. Stay on the course. Stay on the course. Be renewed in your desire and your commitment to finish the race. Cross the finish line and receive your crown.